Welcome to the Hormones in Harmony podcast. I'm your host, Vivian Allred, former chronic illness sufferer turned trusted health practitioner. My passion is helping people to identify and address the root causes of their symptoms through my online business, Viva Natural Health. If you're struggling with confusing or stubborn symptoms that just won't go away despite your best efforts, then you're in the right place. If I can heal from a long list of symptoms and conditions, including cystic acne, hair loss, severe food reactions, and brain fog, then you can heal too. Stay tuned for weekly episodes that share expert guest interviews, Q&A, and solo episodes that are all intended to help you wherever you're at on your healing journey. The information shared on this podcast is intended for educational purposes only, and is not designed to replace the advice of your health practitioner. That said, let's get into today's episode. Hello, welcome back to the podcast. Today, I'm joined by my guest, Olivia Marie, who is also known as Keep Up With Liv on Instagram. And in this episode, we're going to discuss a few different subjects, but they all actually connect together. And this is somatic healing, feminine energy, and money manifestation. So for those who don't know, Liv is a naturopathic doctor and 7D healer, psychic, intuitive, trauma healer, and so much more. She helps people heal on a physical and emotional level so that they can feel delicious in their body and step into their abundant life. She passionately shared her recipes online for years, and she saw how much food is medicine and how much food can help you to heal. But now she goes beyond just that and now bridges the somatic and emotional trauma work with recoding the nervous system in order to step into full health. This is the missing puzzle piece when healing with food, and herbs only take you so far. So in this episode, we discuss Liv's journey to become a naturopathic doctor and then a healer and all of these other things that she does along the way. We discuss the difference between talk therapy versus somatic therapy, what that actually means and what you can expect during a session, what is trauma, and some common examples of that, because it's not just the big T traumas that we hear about and most people are familiar with. There's so many other examples of trauma that might be affecting you, and probably is, because we all have it to some degree. Why our relationship with money is important, and ways to get back into your feminine energy and stop emasculating men. So she shares how to have that polarity with your partner if you're in a heterosexual relationship, the importance of that, because so many women these days are more in the masculine energy because we've literally been forced that way because of things like birth control pill, the patriarchy, having that modeled to us from our mothers or our grandmothers. When women could start working for the first time, we've kind of just swung the other way, a lot of us, and it's really starting to affect our hormonal health and so many other things. So this is such a good episode. I can't wait for you to hear it and learn all about this stuff. And like I said, they're all connected. So enjoy this episode with Liv. So welcome, Liv, to the podcast. And I can't wait to hear about your story, your journey from a naturopathic doctor, how you got into that initially, but then how you've transitioned into this kind of multi-passionate practitioner.
First of all, thank you for having me. I'm so excited to chat with you. I love chats like this with other women who are kind of like-minded, doing the same kind of stuff and really trying to help women heal and live better lives. So my name is Liv. I'm going to keep this as a cold note. So I used to struggle with chronic illness maybe like 5-7 years ago. Exhausted no matter what, hard to get out of bed, horrible cystic acne, debilitating anxiety, panic attacks, bloating, gut issues. Like, no matter what I ate, it was horrible. You know, I was doing the food intolerance test. I was intolerant to 180 foods. Like, there was very little foods I could eat where I would completely flare, possibly have anxiety. Plus, I was exhausted. It was a hot mess time in my life. And I felt like there had to be answers. So, you know, I went to the doctor and they had run tests and put me on heart monitors and this and that. And they're like, well, everything's normal. I'm like, well, I don't feel normal. So that's kind of what sparked my whole journey into natural medicine, because a friend had recommended that I see a naturopath. And at that point I was like, you know what? I'm willing to try everything, because like something is off, something is not working. And so I've been to the naturopath that she recommended, and I remember I can still see me sitting in that chair at that naturopath's office, because that was like such a defining moment of my life. I can see the exact office, how it was laid out, because it feels like the clouds parted and someone saw me for the first time, understood what I was going through. Ooh, I'm getting full body chills, and like also validated what I was going through. Like, hey, this is not normal. This is probably what's going on. There's hope, we can fix it, and this is what we're going to do. And I was just like, wow. And at the time, it was really funny because I had taken the MCAT and I was going to go to med school. And I was like, why am I going to go to med school? I mean, like, there's a time and place for sure. But this naturopathic medicine really resonated a lot deeper for me. And I wanted to help more people that were like me really get to the root cause and figure out kind of what it was. So that's what sparked my journey in naturopathic medicine. I went from, instead of going to med school, to going to naturopathic school instead, to really become a practitioner, be able to get to the root cause and, you know, just spend time also with patients. I feel like when you go to the doctor's office, it's 15 minutes in and out. And I was like, well, how do you really get to know someone? How do you get to know their family life, their relationships, this, that, what things are going on for them that's contributing to their health? And so that was kind of one of the things I loved about that. And then also healing on a natural way, whether it's food, and I'm sure like you speak about this, healing through food or herbs and things like this. There's so much healing that's available to us in a natural means that if we can do it that way, why not do it that way without side effects of other things? And then if, you know, nothing's working, perhaps you need an alternative, like go there. But to me, it's like food and herb, natural medicine first. So obviously I went to school, I graduated with that. And during that time, I was healing my own kind of health struggles, the bloating, the acne, the exhaustion that we were talking about. And it got better. I, you know, did GI MAP tests, I did the Dutch test, I did all these supplements, IV drips, I did it all. And it was like working, but like not forever. It'd be like work for a bit and then stop, and then work for a bit and stop. I'm like, I don't get it. I'm gluten-free, I'm dairy-free, I don't eat vegetable oils, I'm paleo, I manage stress, I work out, I'm taking all these supplements. What's going on? Like, there has to be a deeper answer. And I love all those things. I still take the supplements. I'm a big advocate. Do all that first. But if you do all that and it's not working, that's when it's time to look at more of the emotional somatic route. So that's when I then graduated, discovered kind of like emotional somatic healing, which involves more of the energy that's trapped in your body when you don't properly express your emotions. And when that energy gets trapped, it can lead to physical symptoms. And then through doing somatic work and kind of trauma healing, that's when my symptoms completely resolved. And I was like, wow, this is like for those people who have tried everything and nothing worked. Like, I was that person, and then there was this, and oh my God. So this feels like this was another oh my God moment in my life and in my journey. Like, wow, this is incredible. So if that's not all working, definitely the somatic work. And that's kind of what brought me to what I do now. I know I do a lot more like also spiritual stuff and energy healing, but the crux of what I like to do is really release everything for people that has not only been blocking them or stored in their body that may not even allow the supplements or the nutrition to work as well as it can. Because like I was like, I was eating really clean, and I know plenty of people come to me like, I'm eating clean, what am I doing wrong? And like, I understand that frustration. And for me, it's like, beautiful, let's make sure we also take care of the emotional body so that everything we do nutrition-wise and everything like that can work as it's supposed to.
And that's why I have practitioners like you on the show, because my expertise is like the physical stuff. So helping people to detox and heal their gut and balance their hormones and all of that. But then I totally like acknowledge the impacts of stress and trauma and somatic work, but I'm not the person to guide someone through that. So that's why I have amazing practitioners like you on. And I'm just wondering, like, in hindsight now that you're on the other side of all of those imbalances, what do you think led to the imbalances that you had in the first place? Why were you so sick? Was it a combination of diet? And if you're happy to go into it, what were some of the...
It was definitely a combo of physical and emotional. We can start with physical. Like back when I had started having these symptoms, I still ate gluten. I was still, like, I was in university, like undergrad, so I was like drinking. Now I don't drink. So, you know, I was away at school, so it was a bit of partying. I cleaned up what I ate a lot. And I feel like that made a huge difference. And of course, like supplements, like just making sure you have B12 and all those types of things. So there was physical work, but I would say I don't want to say 50-50, at least for me. And for everyone, that's going to vary. But I think for me, it was a lot of emotional, because if it wasn't, it probably wouldn't bring me to where I am today in order to like help people heal. So a lot of the emotional energetic was like childhood trauma, shames, things that not feeling worthy enough, not feeling good enough, being a people pleaser, poor boundaries, not feeling like loved enough as a kid, being bullied a lot in childhood, like, There was kind of like a lot of stuff, but I also think a lot of stuff is typical. Like it is a lot of things that a lot of women do kind of deal with. So that's kind of like the emotional stuff that I had to deal with, but it's the fact that those emotions weren't properly expressed. And I think a lot of children aren't taught how to properly process anger. They're either, I know I was told like, stop crying. Why are you crying all the time? Stop sniveling. And so like, obviously that energy then got stored in your body. And like, all right, it's not safe for me to express emotion. If I express emotion, I will be punished. I will be yelled at. I will be, and then so you push it down. And so it's not even necessarily the severity of the individual like traumas. It can be just the fact that you pushed it down, and then that builds like a snowball from like when you were born and until an adult. Not yet.
I don't think a lot of kids,
got clients with kids.
Yeah. So I'm just thinking like for my future self as well, I'm always like preparing in advance and trying to do as much work. I know we're never going to be perfect and we're always going to mess our kids up and they'll have trauma just with how they interpret the world. But are we just meant to, do you tell your clients to just let the children express all emotions? Because there's obviously, it can get pretty crazy at times. Are they just allowed to like have a tantrum?
The problem is
in the middle
people
of the supermarket?
Don't like the tantrum in the supermarket because they get embarrassed, because they have shame that their kid is yelling. There's actually nothing wrong with the kid yelling. It's like, oh, people are looking at me. They're labeling it as bad or wrong. When, especially young kids, their emotional centers are just developing. They don't actually know what to do with all this emotion. And there we are like shaming it because it doesn't actually know. It's so young. Its brain is still developing to process emotion. So 100%. In a healthy way. So let's say they have anger. Don't go and like hit your brother or something like that, but they can punch a pillow. They can like, I'm angry because Joey didn't invite me to the party and whatever that is. But for them to vocalize and lose some of that energy, 100%. But we tend to push down things like anger and sadness and punish them for it, which then doesn't really serve them in the long run.
And can you talk about the benefits of doing this work for yourself now before you have children? Because like we're reading that generational trauma can be passed down and that emotion lives in the body, like you were saying. So this is a word of warning and like praying to people to do the work before they have kids. And I think it's just going to help.
100%. Like you said, you do carry. So like what I absorb is partly like my mom's stuff from when I was in her womb and absorbed that. So the less you have is always going to be better, but it's also going to make you more cognizant to raise a child who feels more safe in expressing their emotions and having more balanced emotional health. Because the more that you can also clear, I mean, yes, you're going to be less triggered in your day-to-day life, but you're also going to be a more balanced parent. Because let's face it, parenting is not a joke. Parenting is a lot, becoming a parent. If your nervous system can heal by relieving some of the stuff you've gone through up until this point, your capacity to then be a parent will be that much greater. You will have more patience. You will have more understanding. You will have more compassion.
Do you ever, so you said at the start, you tell people to sort the foundational things first, clean up your diet before they like embark on this journey, but are there ever people who need to do the somatic and healing work before they can actually like change their diet? Because sometimes when I offer these enrollment calls to potential new clients, and sometimes I can just sense that they're not going to actually follow through with what I'm saying. They're not going to take the supplements or do the testing or see the results. So I like often turn people away and say, go to this practitioner first, do the work, and then if you're not fully like fixed because of that, then come back and we can do some more work. So do you have ever
my answer to that is if they're not willing to take the supplement, they are not going to be willing to do the emotional work, because that's a lot harder than popping a pill. So if they're not going to stick to something as easy as like, you know, every morning with breakfast take your vitamin D, they're going to be a lot less unwilling to sit with the little girl inside of them who's still hurt and like have an emotional release. So in those cases, it's more of a, they don't want it for themselves, and it's about working on worthiness. Like, okay, why don't you feel worthy? Why do you feel like there's no point? And more of a limiting belief, emotional blockage, so that you're creating the foundation to allow them to go deep. Because if you don't do that, they're not going to go deep in the emotional work, or like you said, you know, follow the supplement protocol or clean up their diet or whatever it is. But that is more like a worthiness issue. Mm. But no, I don't think if they don't take a supplement, I don't think they're going to sit and do the deeper work. That's a lot harder.
They're going to be a pretty difficult client. So,
yeah. And like, there's no really shame in that. Like, go, like, if you're not ready, you are not ready. I'm very like authentic in saying that. Like, you do have to be willing to do it. And unfortunately, it does sometimes take people hitting a rock bottom. It takes people getting fed up in order to be willing to do it. I wish that wasn't the case, but for a lot of people, it is normally like a last resort.
But we're also not going to wait for like a perfect time, are we, to get started on this stuff? Because it's going to exist. And what is the difference if people are listening and they've tried regular therapy, counseling, CBT, that sort of therapy, and they think like, I don't need to do any more work because that's it. But let's say they're in a situation, they still feel triggered. To me, that's a sign that they've still got some trauma living within them. So yeah, what's the difference, and like the difference between somatic versus regular talk therapy, that's more mainstream?
I'm gonna say the issue with talk therapy is that it doesn't actually remove the trauma from your body. And while you talk about it, talking about it doesn't actually relieve or complete the trauma cycle. All it does is bring it up again, and then you don't release it, and then you leave the session and walk out. So you're not left feeling any better. And that's why some people can go to therapy for like 5-10 years on the same issue, but then you're not getting to the root. Because when you get to the root and you remove it, it's no longer a trigger. It doesn't need to be talked about. It's just completely resolved. And so that's where I see some of the obstacles are with talk therapy, though it can be beneficial, really bring awareness. I feel like a lot of people start to understand their childhood. They start to understand, oh, mom was like this. This makes sense why I respond this way. Beautiful. Go get that awareness, but then actually go and complete the cycle. Because if you're still working on something for like years, you're not actually getting to the root. And I would rather you get to the roots, you no longer have to live with it. And that's the thing about talk therapy. It can just either re-traumatize and or not actually get rid of the root, because it doesn't release the stored energy from your body. And when we undergo trauma, and just so your audience knows, trauma is just any time where your brain experiences more than 3 emotions at once. It can't process all of it at the same time. So you could be like fear, anger, and sadness all at the same time. It just splits. And so when it splits, that stored energy is in your body. When you go to talk therapy, you tell the story again, you experience the same 3 emotions, but it doesn't actually move out of your body. And then we're just, well, we're bringing these 3 down. We don't know, we cannot processing them all. All right, let's split it again. And then it gets stored again. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And is it so when you've been through a trauma, is it where it's stored in the body? Does that reflect kind of the symptoms that manifest? So like, say, like stores in the digestive system, do you then have digestive symptoms, or does it depend on the type of trauma? So if it's more linked to like relationships,
to both questions. So like obviously things to do, like if there's sexual trauma or relationship trauma, that's going to be a lot of womb and cervix and fertility and hormones, since we're talking about hormones. But then like for gut, that's a lot of people pleasing, that's a lot of boundaries, it's a lot of giving your power away. Then there's things like anger, which is stored in your jaw, but anger is also stored in your liver. So if you haven't let out enough anger, or you like repress anger, then your liver is not going to detox properly. So the wonderful protocol you're on for detox is not actually going to work, as the detox is working well for the physical, but not for the emotional. So like there are different, I mean, the energetic roots of everything, there is something, but there's patterns, but there's also like individual, like your left knee can hurt for a completely like separate reason, or eczema, depending on where the eczema is, it's going to be kind of like a different root, all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. And with the different sides of the body, do you see that linking to feminine and masculine energy?
I do.
Yeah, tell us more about that, like which side is which, And yeah, some if you've got any like
stories
to share, clients experience.
There's been a lot. There's been hundreds, but I'll start with the masculine feminine. So your left side is your feminine, your right side is your masculine. So even thinking about if you break out on one side or another, if you break out on the right side of your face, like, are you too much in your masculine? Have you been too much like hustle grinding, not relaxing enough? Things like that. You know, even ovaries wise, do you have a problem with the right ovary or left ovary? Do you insist on one versus the other? Like that can be a good indication. Feminine energy. Ooh, where did to begin?
And can
feminine
I just look at the side? So if it's like on your, you said right side is masculine. Could it sometimes be that you're, is it more like you're too much in your masculine or not enough? Like how would you know the difference?
Too much in your masculine. Okay. I mean, I've never actually met a woman who was not enough. I've never met our culture.
We're usually like right the other way.
We definitely get more of our feminine. But I was thinking that, like, I don't think I ever have. And it's just like a byproduct of the culture we were in, society we grew up in, and what was ingrained in us, and a lot of like the common limiting beliefs and projections and structures that we all grew up with, that we tend to be more in our masculine or wounded masculine, if you will. But yeah, those are the different sides. And wounded masculine is very like perfectionism, hyper body focused, hyper direction focused, which basically means like career or obsessed with like getting promotions or excelling too much, poor boundaries, low self-esteem, all those kinds of things.
And is that in a male or female? So wounded masculine in a female.
A male would be a whole separate conversation. I mean, you always have aspects of both masculine energy and feminine energy, whether you're a man or a woman, but you want to have a healthy balance of both. You don't want completely in your feminine, you don't want completely in your masculine. It's just so many women are definitely not enough in their feminine, let alone like having a healthy masculine. And they're just burnt out, which as you know, when you're burnt out, that affects your adrenals, which affects your hormones. And we're raised in a society of like be productive, hustle, grind. I mean, I think now the conversation started to change a lot, like where rest is productive and nourish yourself, which is so great, kind of over the last 6 months to a year. But definitely feminine energy is something that will really help your hormones if you can bring into it, just from the perspective of feminine is very slow. Feminine is very nourishing. Feminine is very receiving. And we tend to, as women, have a lot of outward energy. A lot of like give, we go to work, we come back, let's work out, let's clean the house, let's take the dog out. It's very outward versus very inward and receiving. We don't often take the time that we need to slow down. And then when we get into our masculine, you know, that's a very fight or flight response for us because we're not usually in it for a healthy amount of time. It's like we're in it and we're grinding and we're going and we go to the fact that your system is then in fight or flight, which I'm sure you know, then affects your hormones, it affects your skin, your gut, your fertility, your cycle, your PMS, and all of that.
Yeah, it's something I've definitely been working on. And I started off my practice specializing in PCOS, polycystic ovarian syndrome, because it's like the first diagnosis that I had. And I think it's just on the rise. And partly, I think, because of this masculine energy and this masculine culture that we're all in. So there's definitely a blood sugar, insulin, gut health component with that condition, but I've definitely seen it in myself. And I've really been working on more of that feminine energy the past few years. But for someone who's brand new to this, like how do they start with the
slow down and get
the feminine energy some more?
Being slower and doing less. A lot of the clients who come to me, if I tell them to just sit for 15 minutes and do nothing, they're like, what? Like no podcast, no book, no TV, no scrolling, just sit. For so many women, that is hard. And then see where you can build more slowness into your day, especially giving yourself something at the beginning of the day versus rushing into your day with an outward energy. And I think that also comes down to like, well, then I'm doing less, I'm not getting as much done. But no, that's just your conditioning that like go, get stuff done, because you believe if I get stuff done, either I'll be loved, I'll be accepted, I'll achieve something, versus that actually being a core desire. Your core desire is to receive. So can you sit down and do nothing? Can you receive from the shower in the morning? Can you slow down your walk versus needing to be productive all the time? Maybe you go for a walk and there is no podcast, there is no music, and you're just with your thoughts. So many people can just be with their thoughts. And if that, you're like, oh, I couldn't do that, this is a sign, slow down. Or even how often do you find yourself saying should? oh, I should just do another hour of work today. Oh, I should just get this done on the weekend time ahead. I should just do this. I should just do that. You know, where are you operating from shoulds in a way that's depleting your energy instead of nourishing your energy? And then really start asking, like, what would feel nourishing for me today?
And something that I've noticed with the work that I've been doing is that my relationship with food, but also my body, has improved as a result without me directly even focusing on that. So before, like the thing that got me sick to begin with was over-exercising and I was trying to eat healthily, but it was really just diet culture that got in my head, honestly. And then with my body, I was previously as a teenager influenced by like media more and trying to look like the celebrities and all of that. Whereas now that I'm healthier and more in my feminine, I'm definitely not perfect. And I like what you just said about the podcasts and constantly having something in your ears is something that I'm still working on. But even my body image and my relationship to my body.
I always say this, your relationship with food is a relationship to the feminine. And that's because a lot of people, food is something that's easily controlled and easily manipulated for like people in their day-to-day life. So it's easy for them to get perfectionism or hyper-focused on that. Especially from like a negative standpoint, like you were saying, whether it's like diet culture or restriction. And I can't tell you how many people start eating more and like restricting less and like end up either losing weight, like feeling better in their body, having their cycle come back, having healthy hormones. And it's because of when you're in your feminine, you're very connected to yourself in a loving way. There's a lot of self-love there. And a poor relationship with food usually comes from shame, guilt, not feeling enough, and pushing down emotion. But when you heal your trauma, then your body is no longer going to go to food for that dopamine hit to feel better, because it wants to feel better. And if you're not going to deal with the emotions with like, well, food can do that temporarily for me, or I can control the food, or I can maybe receive the love, praise, recognition, especially because, hey, when unfortunately in society, when we either lose weight or look a certain way, people are like, oh, wow, you look amazing. You lost weight. Oh, wow, this. Like, no one's like, wow, you're glowing. Maybe you're pregnant. But other than that, do you know what I mean? It's not really reinforced. And so when you're still craving that love and desire, like externally, food is a great way to kind of give that to you. But when you're in your feminine, that love comes from within and it's no longer searched for externally.
It definitely happened with me. All the compliments just made things a million times worse. And even though I looked fitter and healthier, I was never overweight to begin with, but I definitely lost some body fat. And quote, I hate that term, toned up, but maybe that's what they were thinking. But inside, I had crippling anxiety. My digestion was a mess. My period stopped. And I was probably hiding a ton of acne on my face with makeup. So the compliments, even though they were trying to be nice, they like, let's start complimenting people on some other things, not just physical appearance.
Yeah, and it, like you said, there is no way to live. I remember like I, back in the day, way back, was the same in terms of like restrictive 1200 calorie diets, et cetera. And it's, you're right, it is crippling anxiety. It is, but when you feel like that's the only thing you can control, or that's the only way that you're going to feel good or give yourself that love, I get the pattern, but like it is time to like, let's actually sit with the parts of ourselves that we're trying to push down that we labeled as like bad, wrong, or shameful, whether it's our actual body parts, the size, other things about us, etc.
Let me ask you a quick question. Where do you want to be in 6 months' time? Do you want to be more energized, feeling comfortable in your skin again, excited for life because you finally started to see improvements with your health? Or do you want to still be frustrated and depressed because you're still struggling with symptoms that are taking over your life and stopping you from living to the full? If you want the first option, you have to do something different. After all, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over again and expecting a different result. If you're currently DIYing your health, meaning trying to heal yourself through researching, trial and error, and wasting a lot of money and time in the process, then you could actually be sabotaging your results. Would you try and fix your car yourself if it was broke and you didn't know what was wrong with it? no. So why are you trying to do it all alone when it comes to the most important thing that we have, which is your health? Trust me, actually asking for help and investing in yourself saves you time, money, and a lot of stress in the long run. I know you're probably not getting any answers or support from your doctor. I've been there too. But that's why I created my 6-month root cause relief package. This one-to-one package offers the highest level of support and transformation because you'd be working closely with me to help identify and address underlying root causes of your health issues. Even if you're already eating healthily, taking some supplements, there's so much more to healing, so don't feel like you've tried everything. Let me help you figure out what's causing your stubborn symptoms, which support your body in healing naturally, which, in case no one has ever told you, is completely possible. Check out my website, which is linked in the episode show notes, for more info. And there's also a link there to book in a free 20-minute enrollment call so that we can chat further about your unique situation and goals and see if it would be a good fit for us to work together. If you've been looking for a sign, this is it. And I also find that I just know what works better for my body now. I've become more intuitive. I think, as I got healthier, my gut health is better and therefore my brain health is clearer. And just, again, relaxing more into the feminine, listening to myself, I now know what foods work for my body and what type of exercise to do rather than listening to external sources. So I know that you're very intuitive and you have this as part of your work, that spiritual side as well.
I'm going to keep the calls notes for the spiritual side.
Yeah, how does
well.
It help you in your practice?
Essentially, with the beginning of 2020, I call it my spiritual awakening. And I think through healing my trauma, I became more connected to myself. And then I became very spiritual in that sense. But it was mainly more of a coming back to myself that allowed me to really connect with my intuition. Because when you have a lot of noise from outside society and projections and everything like that, it's difficult to be in tune because your brain is being like, I don't know, but I saw Sally's what I eat in a day and she eats this 100 calorie wrap. So I should watch that, but you're not going to be tuned in because you think that's what you should be doing. When you have a healed relationship with food, sure. If you want to, get recipe inspiration, that's great. But the intuitive part is important and how it changes the game for me is it allows me to see clearer for me and for my patients and my clients. So it's going to be very hard to tap into that intuition if you're not connected to your feminine energy, because that's the well, if you will, the spring that connects you to your intuition. But it's also, we spend so long going against our intuition. Even when we think of your body's telling you it wants food, and you're restricting and saying, well, no, we need to be skinny. Well, why is it going to keep giving you messages if you're not listening to it? You probably spent a long time not listening to your body. It's going to take a little bit of time to be practicing listening to it, giving it what it needs. Obviously, your brain needs to see proof. And then being my body, it said it wanted more protein today. Beautiful. I'm going to give it protein, or I'm going to give it more sweet potato. I want more grounding, whatever it is. Oh, and look, I feel so good. All right, I can trust my intuition. And it's really building back that trust within yourself after you've given it externally for probably so long.
And how do we, how do we differentiate though sometimes between intuition and ego or anxiety? So if someone's saying you need to quit your job.
So intuition is very calm. How do we know? And there's not really an emotional response.
It's like a gut feeling.
So ego would be a very motivating, with an ego or that or the anxiety, the motivating principle behind it will be that of lack or scarcity. You shouldn't eat that because you'll get fat, or you shouldn't say that because they're not going to like you anymore. Do you see how the motivating principle behind it is something of lack, scarcity, fear, shame, guilt? That won't happen.
There's also that energy behind it as well. Whereas the other one that you say is just a calm knowing.
Exactly. And just ask yourself, what's really behind this? What's motivating this thought? Is it fear? Is it shame? Is it guilt?
And how do we strengthen our intuition? Is it just
drowning out the noise? I think
the noise, or are there any?
But I really drown out the noise, the opinions of others, social media, do a detox, and really start asking yourself basic things and listening to it. Even if it's what do I want for breakfast today? I really want this. and listening to that. What do I want to do with Saturday? Do I want to go for a walk? It sounds simple, but it's about building up that trust. Just like you'd build trust in any relationship, this is just the relationship with yourself. But it's easier to start with more, I would say, like basic things, depending on maybe what you struggle with. Maybe the food thing isn't so basic for you. Maybe it is like the walk, whatever it is, but building that trust up so that you will then start to know the different voices in your head, which is intuition, which is not, which is like more fear or ego or something like that. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think it ties into feminine energy again, because we often just get regimented doing the same thing every single day. Like, I have this for breakfast, I work out at this time. And that is a very like masculine way of being, just to do the same things. But we're on this 28 average day cycle as women, unlike the 24-hour cycle that men are on. So yeah, I think just listening day to day based on how you slept, what you've got on for the day, how stressed you are, where you're at in your menstrual cycle could also like change the type of decision that you make.
And it's about like really allowing like
what type of work
a masculine structure for your feminine to then flow. So it's like, okay, I want to move my body in some way. That's the masculine structure. What I'm going to choose, if that's a walk, Pilates, yoga, I don't know, HIIT, that's like where your feminine can then flow. But a lot of people also don't have this space because they jam-pack their schedule so much that there is no flow time. And it's like, I'm gonna do this, I'm right here, shower quickly. And it's like, oh my God, no wonder. There isn't actually space. That's another thing, like add space to your calendar, add buffer time, especially so that you're not kind of like operating too much in a go, 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 so that you can actually ask yourself those intuitive questions and then allow some flow, and then not making that as bad or wrong or judging yourself. Like, well, I really don't feel like going to the gym, you know, I should go because blah, blah, blah. Like your body is kind of like telling you, you know?
It's working with your body rather than against it, or work with your hormones rather than against it. Because we have like different superpowers and make the most of them.
You're going to be, I don't want to say like a different person, but like a different version of you. And that's okay. But I think sometimes people shame themselves. It's nothing to do with consistency. If you're not like having the same motivation to like, when you're bleeding, you may not want to go run a 5K. That's okay. Again, not labeling it as bad or wrong or judging or shaming yourself and offering compassion to your body. Because even going back to like the emotional work, I would rather you do something that makes you feel good than do something you think is better for your body, but is full of shame and guilt. Let's say you're eating a healthy meal because you hate your body and you want to be skinny for summer. It's like you're eating shame because you hate your body. I'd rather you, I don't know, have some chocolate without some shame that's actually going to do more for your body than just eating healthy out of shame. So whether that's working out, kind of whatever you're doing, the motivation behind it is going to be so powerful as well. And then you're not going to store worse emotions in your body, you know?
Yeah, love that. I say that something similar with my clients who have food intolerances. I work a lot with like histamine reactions and food sensitivities and all of that. And I tell them that if they're sitting down to eat the meal and they're fearful, they're anxious, they're worried that they're going to get stomach ache or breakouts after eating it, they probably will because of the power of the mind. So why not change that up and go into the meal grateful about the journey that the food's been on and the fact that you can access organic produce.
I feel like a lot of people do not realize like
skin and gut,
how powerful they are, or how even powerful the manifester they are. I would like to say, you're constantly manifesting. You are a powerful manifester. However, you're probably focusing on what you don't want rather than what you do want. So it's not that you're not a good manifester. It's just that, like you said, you're focusing on like, oh no, I think I'm going to, you know, get bloated after this meal. There's a degree of like, you are affirming that. So that's what's going to happen. So like, yeah, I love that you said that. And I love that you tell people that too.
Just like switch that negative. Negative attraction into some like positive stuff, because yeah, your brain is powerful. And I know that you've manifested a lot, your healing and your business stuff and success and everything along the way. So yeah, could you talk about, for someone who's brand new to manifesting, law of attraction?
Okay. Like, so you are always attracting everything in life. whether you wanted it or not. And I know some people are like, oh, that's kind of woo-woo. There is scientific backing behind it. I mean, there's like tons of articles, like research studies that kind of back up manifesting, but essentially you are always attracting what's in front of you into your 3D, into your reality. So really start to think about what is it that you want to bring in and where are you currently perhaps emitting a frequency or emitting an energy that's not a match for that. You know, where are you being, you want to feel great in your body, but you spend most of your day, you know, thinking negatively about it. Well, that's going to bring more like negative energy to it. So just think about where are your dominant thoughts, and that's what's going to attract things in. You are a magnet. So you want to be emitting like as much positive energy, like love, etc. And that doesn't mean spiritually bypassing where you don't validate your emotions. It more just means your ability to refocus and not stay stuck on things suck all the time. This is negative. This is going on in my job. There's a recession. There's this, there's that. You have the option to focus on that, or you could re-switch to something more positive. And then the more positive you are, the more you can attract in. I like, it's like tuning into a radio station. If you want to listen to salsa music on 102.5, but you're tuned into 99.9, which plays heavy metal, and you're like, all I hear is heavy metal. Why am I hearing heavy metal all the time? Not realizing you're the one who controls the dial on the radio station. So you're complaining about the heavy metal music, not realizing you have to switch it to the salsa if that's what you want to actually bring in.
That's a really good analogy. I love that one. And something that a lot of people want more of, but often have a bad relationship with, is money. So could you talk about the connection with everything that we've just discussed, feminine energy, manifestation, law of attraction, health?
I mean, I can talk about that.
The relationship.
I love your questions. I just feel like, ooh, we could do an episode on each of these. But I love talking about money because I feel like, well, a lot of people don't like talking about it, or it's like taboo, but B, there are people who have so many limiting beliefs around money that if I can help more women feel more empowered with money and realize, you know, what's possible for them, I definitely want to. So again, this also goes back to the focusing and looking at what are your limiting beliefs about money? What do you believe about money? And if you believe those things, well, then that's what's going to happen to you. If you believe it's hard to earn money, that's what's going to happen. If you believe money comes to you easily, that's what's going to happen. But again, a lot of us have either money traumas or money limiting beliefs that we grew up with from our parents, depending on like what kind of family dynamic we grew up in, how mom and dad felt around money. Was money was available? Was it not? Did they have to work hard for money? Did they have things that they programmed into us when we were little? Because when our subconscious mind is developing, when we're really young, we are a sponge. So we absorb everything our parents say. And when I say parents, it could also be whoever raised you or whoever you grew up with. But if they said, you know, it's so hard to make money, you're going to have to work really hard to make money. Make sure you work really hard to make money. Money doesn't grow on trees, or rich people are greedy, or rich people are bad. Then your childhood brain goes, oh, rich is greedy, rich is bad. Okay, I don't want to be that, because you want to be loved by mom and dad. So then no wonder you're like repelling it when you're an adult, or no wonder you feel like you have to work hard for it. No. Keep in mind, we all work, but it's not necessarily equal to how hard you work and how much money you make. Because I guarantee there are millions of people who work very, very hard and unfortunately don't make money. So if that was true, then that like that absolute just doesn't exist in our universe, it's like not a law. So that's what I would really say, is really start to peel back kind of your relationship with money. Like, how do I feel about money? Like, what did mom and dad say growing up? How does this maybe showing up in my day-to-day life? And where do I maybe need to go and release those traumas and work on those aspects? Because I always have to say, I'm not special. You know, I didn't grow up really poor, but I definitely don't come from like a millionaire, a billionaire family. So a lot of the money work I've done, I've grown my business from like, I have an episode on this, $236 per month to like where it is now. And that's all through the money work that I've done on myself. So I was like, it's possible. It's possible for me. It's possible for you. You just have to kind of clean up your money beliefs and really start to think, am I scarce with money? Do I have, you know, a fight or flight response with money? Like, what is your nervous system response to money? Do you avoid looking at your bank account? And, you know, if your nervous system doesn't feel safe with money and it's jacked and it just freaks out looking at your bank account, well, then money's not going to want to come to you. If you're a stage 5 clinger with money and you're hoarding it, No, we've all dated a clinger. No one wants that energy. So money's not going to come to you, right? But it's about bringing that safety into your nervous system. I don't know. I could go on for this for hours, but.
No, I love this. I'm really into the education as well, because I find that a lot of the education is usually for men again, and it's very like, and I'm good. You need to have a plan, you need to have a business plan, and I never did any of that.
We have so much magic that you could do it the masculine way, and I'm not saying it wouldn't somewhat work, but I remember I was trying to make money the masculine way. It definitely was not working for me. And when I went to my feminine, I made exponentially more, working less, feeling calmer, not feeling like I had to grind all the time. Like, why wouldn't you want that? That sounds a lot better. We're just like, we are not wired to work like men. So why would we? Like, we don't have to. We're both equal, but we're kind of like, we work differently. Just like our cycles work differently, 24-hour cycle versus 28-day cycle. So is our energy, and we get to use our strength, like our feminine energy, to receive money in a different way. And that's beautiful.
We could work like men, but at the expense of our hormones, unfortunately.
Oh, yeah. I was so burned out. I was like, why is this working my business? I'm like, And I think it just wasn't meant for me to work out like that. And yeah, you said it's going to burn your adrenals. It's going to burn your hormones. It's going to probably make you anxious.
So we need to like find our limiting beliefs or our relationship with money, have a think about it. And if you do have beliefs like money is bad, you need to find evidence that the opposite is true. Think of all of the charities and the good things that you could do if you had money. The other classic one is money doesn't grow on trees. Well, technically it does, because money comes from paper and paper is from trees.
That's true. Yes, technically.
You have to like rewire your brain, and it will take time. It will take repetition. It's not just going to clear overnight, although sometimes trauma can be shifted very quickly, especially the somatic forms. But yeah, we've just been ingrained with these beliefs for decades now, a lot of us, so we need to be patient when trying to change things over and not beat ourselves up if we don't overnight. Yeah. Have
it's really about like the refocus. I like to say, don't harm on yourself money. If you get out of focus, just refocus. That's it. Every moment is an opportunity to refocus. And like you said, it might be generational stuff, like even with the relationship with food, whatever. We grew up with a mom maybe who didn't love her body, who was always on diets. Like, people really underestimate how much of an influence like parents have on like your decoding and programming, or whoever like you spent your dominant time with. Like, it's massive in all aspects of your life, even going back to feminine energy, like, and money. Like, my mom's definitely not in her feminine. Like, I don't know. So like, that was probably very modeled to me to like, I want to be my masculine, and you know, I need to work hard, I need to do this, I need to do that. And so like, there's even modeling with feminine energy, there's modeling with money, there's modeling with relationship with food. And like, again, this is no shame to the parents, obviously. And I always like to say that it's no fault of them. They're probably doing the best that they can, or they're doing what they learned from their parents. This is more about bringing awareness and like breaking the pattern for yourself and future generations.
So I want to talk about relationships now, because that's another thing that can affect our health massively. So I'm just thinking with your relationship, if you're trying to like optimize things as much as possible before you have kids and you want to do the best that you can to raise a healthy, happy family, what are some of the things that you do in your relationship to keep that polarity between masculine and feminine? And yeah, any other relationship advice, I'm just talking like, again, heterosexual relationship. The men's brains are different, and men's bodies and hormone cycles, as we spoke about, are different. So yeah, what do we need to know about communicating with partners and relationships, especially like woman to man?
So the biggest thing is that you need to be in your feminine, obviously, in a relationship, if you're being with a male, like we're talking about heterosexual. Even if you're in your masculine at work, making sure at the end of the day, there's some sort of anchor, there's something that you can do to bring you back into your feminine. However, it's also going to be hard to be in your feminine if you are shaming, emasculating men, which looks like nagging them. You didn't empty the dishwasher. Why haven't you done this yet? You never buy flowers for me. You never planned dates. That doesn't foster an energy that makes the man want to do things for you, because all you're doing is making them feel like they're not enough. And if we think about a little kid, And I'm like, yes, they're still very similar. If you tell the kid like how bad they are, that makes them kind of hide in the corner. That doesn't make them want to do things for you. Same thing with a man, because at the end of the day, we all have inner child that are still being nourished. And so when you're shaming them, that doesn't really create a safe space for them to really lead and rise. But also with the communication aspect, like, are you creating a space where they can safely communicate with you and be heard and not judged? A lot of the times people, like, they men will communicate with them like, but you made me feel like this and blah, blah, blah. All right, like, that might be true, but if they don't feel like they can communicate with you and be heard, just like if you felt like you wouldn't be heard, it's not really going to work. It's going to be like talking at something, but nothing's ever going to really like receive for each other. But again, if you then are nagging them, and that's what the communication is, it's like the energy of what you're doing it. If you would say that to a child, like, don't talk that way to your partner. So if you would like tell a child, oh, you didn't think you're going to maybe do that before breakfast, it's not like you're going to say that to like your husband, your partner. And so really just becoming aware of like the language that you use. And if there's any kind of shaming and emasculating, will allow him to then be in his masculine more. Because when you are shaming and emasculating, that's a very mothering energy, and mothering energy is masculine. You're meant to receive. And I know you're saying, well, but he might not do things if I don't, like, you don't nag him to do it. Or he's probably not doing them even if you're nagging him, but you would be surprised. There's going to be a little bit of like space between when you start changing behavior and when he changes. You have to allow for a bit of space. We're not talking years or months, but like give it a week or two from when you start, and it will shift the energy. It will make him want to do things for you. But you have to like start like looking at your language first and looking at where you are hopping into that more masculine role. Like, oh, I don't know. I see these things on Instagram where like it's a reel and a lot of people are doing it where the woman asks the guy to like do the vacuuming, and then you see the reel, the woman's vacuuming, and the guy comes in and like when she asks him to do the vacuuming, and I'm like, great, you're mothering him. You just told him that he should do like the vacuuming. I'm like, this is a perfect example. Like, you know, you leave it, but you have to stay in that buffer zone for it to work. You have to be willing to not jump in right away.
Which is easily done, because you're like, oh, I could just do it quicker. Like, it'll take me 5 minutes, but then you've just like lost the point, really.
And also, like, I feel when men sometimes do things for women, they don't necessarily appreciate it in a way that they could. It's like, well, thank you. We're like, honey, like, thank you so much for cleaning the kitchen last night. Like, it was so nice for me to come down from my calls and just have a clean kitchen. Like, that really meant a lot to me. Versus like not even making eye contact, talking about thanks for cleaning the kitchen. Like, that's very different energy.
If anything's going to motivate someone, it's that like eye contact, like thank you so much. Like, he's going
to
want to do
it. Does, because men want to lead. They want to provide. They want to support. They're like, oh, okay, she loved that. They got like, it is positive reinforcement. Like, it is, but it's in a genuine, very heartfelt kind of way. So don't do that from a fake way. Like, do it when it's genuine and heartfelt, but like really communicating that, because they may not know. And that's kind of like what I might say, like my top things to start working on in terms of a relationship.
And I heard the other day on a podcast or something that it's women who tend to like improve themselves based on criticism. Like, if someone told you like, oh, you didn't do great on this, like you would work harder at it. Whereas men are the opposite. They just shut down.
Complete opposite. So if you tell them, like, they just want to do the opposite. It's so, and that's true. They just want to do the opposite. So even though if you have male versus female children, you can also know that different way to parent, but if we just respond differently. Well, we hear like, oh, that makes us like, we're not good enough. Let's like work on it. They shut down. They're like, no, I'm out.
We're like, we're going to go to therapy. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. So yeah, big difference with male and female brains, but we never get taught this sort of stuff. So that's why I have guests like you on. But before I let you go, I have a few final questions that I like to ask my guests. So the first one is, what's something that you're into lately? It could be like a Netflix show. It could be something health related, a book that you're reading.
I really like cold plunges lately. Mm-hmm. I know it's not super new, but like I really like, well, contrast if you can, but like the cold, it's so invigorating and it's really good for your nervous system. It's a great way to tone your vagus nerve doing something physical. So I really like whether you do cold plunge, like I always do a cold shower. I don't have a cold plunge in my house yet. manifesting. So I really like cold plunges.
Yeah, same here. I actually went for like, it's freezing cold here in England at the moment, but last week or the week before, I went to a lake nearby and did a lake dip, and it was so cold. But that night, my sleep was just amazing. Like, I didn't wake up once. Like, I have an Oura ring, so it tells me my recovery and everything. My HRV, so my sign of recovery, was higher than it's ever been in ages. And in the moment, I hated it. It's kind of like an analogy with therapy or somatic work, maybe, that in the moment it's like the worst thing ever and you just want to get out of it. But then on the other side, you get so many benefits. So I'm into that as well.
It's so good. And it builds resiliency too, because it teaches your brain that you can do hard things.
So true. Do you have a book recommendation on, it could be on any of the subjects that we've discussed today, or a fiction one?
I don't actually read fiction. So I'm going to give you one that I think like a lot of humans should just read, and it's Becoming Supernatural by Joe Dispenza. It's a little science-y, but I feel like you can take your time digesting it or read a chapter at a time. But it really just shows you the power of your body, the power of healing. Like, you can go look into his journey about how he healed, like a miraculous recovery and everything like that. But I just feel like it's a really good understanding like how supernatural you and your body is, and when you understand that, whether it's manifesting or healing, like I feel like it really ties together everything we've talked about today. And kind of, if you're skeptical about manifesting or like the woo-woo, this gives you like the quantum physics behind it, and you're like, oh cool, like that's how it works. And then maybe then your brain can wrap around it better. So Becoming Supernatural, my first
one. One's on my bedside table, ready to go. I think that's going to be the next one that I choose. Right, I can't wait for that one. What's something that you can't live without? So it could be a food, a supplement, a product, kitchen gadget.
Electrolytes.
Really?
That sounds simple. No, but like really, if I were to think about one thing, I cannot go a day without one. I don't really consider a supplement, though it could be, is electrolytes, because so many people, especially adrenal health-wise, something like that, like we're not getting actually enough electrolytes, especially like if you find you're peeing all the time, not absorbing water, whether it's headaches or cravings or brain fog, like a lot of us don't have a proper electrolyte imbalance. I feel like that's like a game changer.
Electrolytes. Yeah, well, we should be getting them just daily from our water and our food, but because everything's so deficient and because we have these like busier lifestyles, we're just burning through them. So it makes sense that he's like obsessed with them. It's because we need them. And I'm like big into mineral balancing. I'm actually like running a mineral course at the moment, so I can totally understand the physiological impacts of that. It's a great choice. Very last question, Liv, is where can people find you online? So the different products that you offer, social media, your podcast, etc. I'll obviously link them in the show notes, but yeah, just give us an overview.
You can find me at Keep Up With Liv on Instagram. My podcast is the Live Well Podcast. I would say just come over to my Instagram, learn more things. We can always connect further there if you have any questions, but that's probably the best two ways to find me.
Amazing. And this has been so fun. And yeah, if you want to come on and do a deep dive into each of those subjects, you're free to come back on. We'll see what the people say and if they want another episode. But yeah, it's great to connect with you. It's been amazing. And thank you for your time.
You too. Thank you so much.
I really hope you enjoyed this episode. If you did, I would love for you to leave me a rating and review on your podcast app, as this helps to support the show and it allows it to reach more people with this valuable information. Come and say hi over on Instagram. I'm at Viva Natural Health. And if you haven't already, check out my website, vivanaturalhealth.co.uk, for tons more free resources and to discover how I could support you further. I currently offer one-on-one consultation packages if you want my top level support, then more affordable group programs and self-paced online courses. So there really is something for everyone. If you're ready to change and get some answers but aren't sure which option would be best, take that first step today and apply for a free enrollment call on my website, and we'll discuss the best steps for you to take in order to achieve hormonal harmony. Enjoy the rest of your day, and I'll see you back here next week for another episode.